3, 2, 1.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 20s in 20 podcast, where we cover everything you need to know about your 20s in only 20 minutes. I'm Mallory Metz, and this is As Good As It Gets.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of 20s in 20. I'm Mallory Metz, and today I'm so excited. We have my first coworker on the podcast, Tiana James. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us your name, your age, where you live, and if you want to, what you do for a living?
I'm 28, so I'm still in my 20s, thank God. But I'm getting close to 30, so I was like, I got to do this podcast before I get there. I live in Frisco, Texas, and I do marketing and PR.
Love that. Well, Tiana, you've had a big life change happened recently, something that you've expected for a while now, but something that I want to come on here and talk through with you, which is you just had a baby.
Yes, I just had a baby and I did it during a pandemic.
Yes, and that's actually my first question. So what was it like being pregnant in 2020? Do you feel like you had an expectation going into being pregnant and then this obviously was a completely new world? Or do you feel like because this is your first pregnancy, you only know what you know?
I feel like, you know, going into pregnancy, you kind of have some like preconceived notions based on like people you knew that have been pregnant or like television and movies. And so you kind of have this idea. But because the pandemic was so crazy and it was so unknown, I would say it was kind of weird. And I think there were pros and cons with it. Like, for example, a pro was the fact that because we were working from home, you know, when I had really bad nausea, at least I wasn't like running out of a meeting with like our CMO or something. I was able to just like put myself on mute and like run down the hall to the bathroom, right? So yeah. It's like there's pros in a sense, but then there's also cons, like because of all the restrictions. Just to make sure everyone's staying safe. Like, my husband was not able to even meet my doctor until I was delivering. So,
oh my God.
It was a little weird because, like, he'd only been able to go to 2 sonogram appointments in the whole pregnancy.
That is so wild. It's one of those things that, yeah, you definitely won't forget. But then, first of all, I want to talk about how you settled on the name for your little girl. And then, when was she born? Like, because you kept gender a secret, you kept name a secret. Like, you guys were like Kylie Jenner up in here. Like, nobody knew what was happening.
And it was funny, too, because, like, because we were work from home, I could have technically kept the pregnancy a secret for a while. But yeah. I think we were just so excited. But, okay, so I'll start with the name. So Eleanor Ruth James was born on January 20th of 2021. And we call her Nori for short. So that's like her nickname. That's kind of like what all of our friends and family call her. And Eleanor Ruth was kind of a name that my husband and I had always like talked about. We had other options too, but he was like hardcore, this is the name. He was like, I know for like 100% this is going to be the name. Mm-hmm. And my husband is a history teacher. And so he's really passionate about finding a name of like outstanding women in history. And I really wanted to empower our daughter by giving her a name, you know, not only powerful women in history, but those that truly like made a difference, or I guess you could say spent their entire like careers and lives fighting for other people. And so Eleanor Roosevelt and Ruth Bader Ginsburg is who she's named after.
Love that.
And Nori, the reason why we settled on that is because I knew Eleanor, because it is a little bit old-fashioned, people would call her a nickname. And I was like, I don't want Ellie. I don't want Ella. Like, I started thinking through, like, what would all the nicknames be? And I really liked playing on the end of the word Nori. And it actually means seaweed in Japanese. And I'm Asian. So we were just kind of like, okay, like she's our little seaweed. I know.
I always see the Instagram posts and I'm like, oh my God.
But yeah, that's kind of like how we landed on the name.
I think that's amazing. But going back to your pregnancy, how do you feel like your experience was overall? Were you happy with your pregnancy? Did you feel like it was really difficult? Did it go in ebbs and flows? Let's give us a peek behind the curtain into what actually was going on.
I would say overall, because I had, you know, no medical complications, I had a good pregnancy. I think my first trimester was probably the hardest, though, because I had really bad nausea to the point where I was actually losing weight, which is not good while you're pregnant, right? But I was so sick that literally I couldn't really eat anything between weeks 7 and 14. So there was a long period of time where it was kind of like I was in the same routine where I would eat a little bit and then throw it up. And I don't know why they call it morning sickness, because it was all day sickness. But I would say that, like, that was a symptom that was really hard on me. And then I would say, you know, I was definitely happy with my pregnancy. Again, like, we were very blessed and lucky that we didn't have anything severe happen or, you know, any complications. But I would say that not only is your body, like, going through these changes that you literally, like, cannot control, but your hormones are fluctuating. And I would just say, like, for every woman that's going through this, it's pretty insane, because you hear about it and you're like, oh yeah, like, of course your hormones will change. But as you're experiencing it, it's like, what in the world? I would say the closest thing for girls is it's like a period on steroids.
Oh man. You're really selling the people on it.
I promise it's worth it.
And then how do you feel like your diet changed when you were pregnant? Obviously there was a time where you were like, I can't keep anything down, but did you have like weird cravings? How did that change for you?
So my husband is vegan and he does most of our cooking. Thank God. I'm not a Rachel Ray. So
me either.
So find you a mate that will do all the cooking for you. But I would say, so he's super into fitness and nutrition. And so when he was cooking meals for me, he always ensured that, like, I upped my protein and I was just eating larger portion sizes, because you are hungrier as you progress. But what I would say is, like, more on the craving side, it was so random. And it wasn't like combinations. Like, you know how people talk about, oh, were you craving like pickles and ice cream?
Yeah.
It was more like I would crave an item and I wanted to eat it right then and there. I Uber Eats so many things based on cravings, because I needed it in that moment is what it felt like. So French fries, I'm pretty sure I ate French fries every day in my second trimester. French fries was one that was huge. I was really craving fruit. And then in addition to fruit, it was like lemonade and orange juice. So there was something about like the sweet flavor that I really wanted. It's like so weird. And if you don't have it, it kind of like itches at you. And my poor husband, I'm pretty sure I sent him to like the grocery store like at least 3 times a week to be like, can you go pick this up? Oh, and another one. This is so random. Honey Nut Cheerios.
So that we, is so random.
We didn't have those in the house or anything. It was just like one day I was sitting there and I was like, I really want a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios. And then I just continued to eat them through my pregnancy.
And it's so funny. Like, before your pregnancy, do you feel like you loved Honey Nut Cheerios? Or is it totally like a random thought that you like can't let go?
It was totally a random thought. And oh, something that I have to mention is things that I loved no longer tasted good. So like coffee, and I know, you know, there's going to be people that are like, are you allowed to have that? Yes, you can have like 1 cup of caffeine a day. Some women do like 2 or 3. It depends on what your doctor says. But the flavor of coffee, which I loved, and like before I was pregnant, I probably had 3 cups a day, 1 sip, and I was like, nope, can't finish it.
That's so interesting. Do you feel like now your diet is back? Like now you're like, I need the coffee. Like I'm ready for that.
Yes. So I am technically right now, I'm about 7 weeks postpartum, and I can handle maybe like 1 cup a day. So I'm not back up to where I was.
Right.
But I definitely missed it. It took a little bit though. Like I couldn't drink it right after but I would say like 2-3 weeks after, I started craving it again.
And then what do you feel like has been the biggest lifestyle change postpartum?
Oh my gosh, our schedule.
Yeah.
It's weird because you live in the same environment, right? Like you're doing the same things, but now your schedule is really based around your baby. For example, like Nori, she's on a very strict eating schedule where she eats like 6 times a day at very specific times. And then within that, she has like her napping time as well. So if we fall off of that schedule, she's more fussy. She wouldn't sleep at night. It just like alters things. So if people reach out and they're like, hey, do you want to do like a Zoom happy hour? Do you want to do this or that? It has to be around her schedule.
And then what were you most nervous about either during your pregnancy or before your pregnancy that like looking back on, you're like, okay, I didn't really have to be nervous about that.
Honestly, I was pretty nervous about birth. Mostly because I feel like growing up, anytime it was depicted in like a TV show or a movie, it looked terrible. Like it yeah. looked like a horrible experience. I don't know. Did you ever feel that way?
I still feel that way. I'm like, I still see someone screaming in my back of my head. Like that's what I picture.
Yes. I was almost terrified to where I was like, I totally see why people don't want to have kids or use a surrogate or, you know, like there's so many things. And so I kind of had like this weird fear. But I would say it's totally just like a Hollywood thing. Like, it's not like that. It's very different in the moment. And honestly, I don't think it's as bad as it's seen from the outside, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And like everything with movies and TV, it's dramatized yes. for entertainment. So of course it's going to be scaled down. But yeah, it's very hard to let that go in the back of your head, I feel like. And that's also a really big moment that you're like, this is what we've been waiting for. Like, that's also just has nerves in itself.
Totally.
And then how has it been taking time off work? Like, you're a very assertive, driven career woman.
Oh,
like,
thank you.
You also have many, I feel like, hobbies and things like that. So how has it been, you know, to really, you haven't been working since. So are you like nervous to go back? Are you like gearing to go back? Are you going to come back? You can spill the tea now, Tiana, on the podcast. Just let us all know.
No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, it was great. I would say, and I don't know if this is just because I feel like millennials do lean into that always working mindset, but I've never truly been off work when I've had a vacation before. I even remember like my husband and I, we were celebrating our 1 year wedding anniversary and we were in London and I was still taking calls. And think about the time difference. Like, yeah. So this has actually been really great because it's the first time I've actually disconnected, spending this memorable time with my baby. You're never going to get those moments back. You're never going to get that time back. So it's been really amazing. However, I am a workhorse. Like,
yes.
I would say that I miss using that part of my brain. I miss problem solving and being creative, and I miss talking to adults.
Yeah.
You know, when you're with a baby all day, they can't communicate to you. So I miss some of those conversations, but I'm definitely coming back to work.
Great news, everybody. Tiana will be returning.
Don't panic. No. I'm definitely excited to go back to work. What I would be nervous about is just trying to balance it all. It's just a new scenario, new responsibility. And I feel like a lot of people spread themselves thin when they have hobbies and they work and they want to give 110% to like everything that they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's kind of like my perception has just changed a little bit because she's now my priority.
Yeah, it's like a total shift in the mindset. Moving into my little next topic here, I want to get your advice and tips for people who are either looking to start their own family or have started a family and just are looking for tips. But Tiana, you're quite the baby influencer. So one of my questions, of course, had to be, what is the best baby purchase you've made?
The number one thing that you need on your registry, or even if it's not on your registry and you're able to buy it, is the doona. So the doona is a car seat and stroller in one.
Ooh.
It's expensive, I'm not gonna lie, but I guarantee it will save so much time. I can't even express how the functionality is so nice. So literally, since it's a car seat and stroller in one, the wheels pop out of the bottom of it. So if you're running to the grocery store or running anywhere, you literally like take the whole car seat out of the car and you like press this button and the wheels come out and you can just start rolling it.
Is that like what you would fly with too, or is that something completely different?
So it's TSA approved, so you can take it with you at the airport. I was at first contemplating like, oh, do we really need this? Because you can only use it till your baby is up to like 30 pounds. So really you can't use it after like a year, maybe a year and a half, depending on your baby's size. But I personally think it's totally worth it because when your baby's first born, you have like all these doctor appointments that you have to go to. And then going anywhere, it just makes it so easy because you don't have to transfer them from one thing to another. You're not having to like lug it around like on your arm.
Just grab and go. I love that. Yeah. And then what are three tips that you wish your husband had while you were pregnant?
Okay, so I'm not going to lie. I talked a little bit with my husband about this.
Okay, I love that.
Because I wanted to get his take too, to see if like we were on the same page, and we were. So the first one I would say is husbands get to experience the fun stuff during the pregnancy, right? So like they get to see the sonograms, they get to hear the heartbeat, they can feel the kicks, but they don't experience it all, right? You're not the one that has to go through the morning sickness or all of those things. So support them, like show your partner compassion and make that late night grocery run for whatever they're craving because you're not having to go through some of the not so fun parts. So that's the first thing. I would say the second thing is don't leave mom to do all the prep. You can help Google and research things because there is so much information out there. So while she's building the registry, you can Google which is the best baby monitor. So I would say help with that. And then the third one, you may have more responsibility with household things, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you should offer to help.
I think those are all great pieces of advice. I don't know how many husbands will listen to this, but I hope they're told. Tiana, I end every podcast episode talking about pet peeves relative to the subject we've been talking about. So obviously this one is a little finicky because any pet peeves are also surrounded by your bundle of joy, but any pet peeves you have, would love to hear them.
So I really only have three. The first one was people touching my belly.
Ooh.
It's so weird when you're pregnant, like people gravitate towards you and some people would touch it without asking, which I think is, I don't know. I just think personal space is a big deal. So that's my first one. My second one is it doesn't matter. I don't think you should comment on a woman's weight.
No.
So even in pregnancy, like people will ask like, you know, like, how much are you weighing? Like, oh, you should really be ahead of that. Or, oh my gosh, you're going to have a big baby. You know, like there's all these comments and it's like, that should just be off the table. And then the final one is unsolicited advice. So here's the thing. If a mama or someone who's becoming a mama reaches out to you and asks you your opinion or, you know, have you gone through this, etc., it is totally okay to provide advice. But I can't tell you how many times, even strangers, like one time I was at the grocery store and the lady behind the cash register was trying to offer me advice on what I should and should not do in my pregnancy. And I was like, you're a stranger. This is weird.
You're like, ma'am, you're store clerk at Kroger. Like,
and it's weird because even now that my baby is here, I still get it. People will message me and be like, oh, your baby's going to want this. Or why do you have that? They are not going to use that at all.
I feel like that's going to happen throughout the rest of your life, like toddler, yes. Kid, high schooler, like anytime you have a problem or not a problem, they're going to seed feet. Like that people will just do that naturally, I think. Okay, Tiana, well, this was really great. Thank you so much for coming on. Glad we were able to make this work and you were able to come out of temporary retirement to come on my podcast.
I love it. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, go to our Instagram, follow us, give us a like, give us a shout out, tell your mom, tell your grandma, and leave us a comment. Thanks for joining us.